Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The guys on The Big Show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet.
Well, it's The Big Show.
It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now open for the 2019 racing season. With new events throughout the year, now is the time to go to GreatLakesDragway.com and plan out your summer of racing. Pick up a discounted ticket package or a season pass that will pay for itself after three visits. So pick up yours today.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane. We reset the big topics, give you the final say on them. You know the deal. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Dragway, the place that you should go if you want to test out what MPH you got. See how much horsepower you have. Go down to Great Lakes Dragway. It's off Highway 20 in Racine. Roy's going to hook you up, get you a season pass so you can come out, man, as many times as you want, burn as much rubber as you want, and you can do it safely and not put anybody else in danger down at Great Lakes Dragway. Best way to do it. That's the only way to do it. Right lane. Today, we've been talking about it on and off all day long, Sparky, because this man is a lightning rod in this city. We started out the show by talking to Michael Silver of NFL Network and NFL.com. We're going to bring that conversation to you right around 5:35, 5:40. And Aaron Rodgers, guys, number one most polarizing figure in the state of Wisconsin. I think we can say that safely, maybe outside of the governor.
Right.
And then the second has been Chris Middleton. And from Jordan Brenner of The Athletic, it appears that everybody's fears of Chris Middleton taking the full max deal that he would be able to get. He's qualified for a five-year, $190 million contract. Jordan Brenner of The Athletic has a quote from a Western Conference executive that says, quote, he's going back. From what I've heard, he'll get the fifth year, but take a little less in the beginning. It won't be the max, but it'll be close to. He goes on to say, but if he's wrong about Chris Middleton and he prefers to go to another destination, team will undoubtedly get themselves back George Hill, save themselves about $17 million because only $1 million of that $18 million salary for George Hill is guaranteed. They could roughly save a little bit of money as there's a cap hold of $18.8 million on Nikola Mirotic. He's expected to make about $13, $14 million, and the Bucks still then own the bird rights of Malcolm Brogdon as a restricted free agent. They can go over the luxury tax, Sparky, to bring back Malcolm Brogdon. They cannot go into the luxury tax to bring back Brooke Lopez, as they do not have his bird rights. Right now, the conversation is Chris Middleton, and it's been the conversation seemingly all year long. Are you happy Chris Middleton back with the Bucks, just shy of the max for 5 years?
But Lopez, by all indications, would take the mid-level tax exemption. So that's how you get Lopez back at about $9.5 million, whatever it is. I'm not excited. I'm not, I'm going to throw a party. We got Middleton back. No. I'm not angry about it either. Kind of neither, I guess, because I think not all of us, but some of us, I think, just assumed that he was coming back, and that was that. And so it's not really all that shocking that they're bringing him back. You've got Giannis going into next summer where he can sign the Supermax deal. If he doesn't, then he's got 1 year left and he goes into free agency. You don't want to be in a situation where he says, yeah, I'm just going to play my year out and see what happens, and then have to sweat out after he takes trips around the NBA to see if he wants to come back to Milwaukee and sign as a free agent. That is not something I want to go through. So if keeping Middleton assures that you can compete to get back to the NBA Finals next year and can help keep Giannis happy at the same point, then you got to do what you got to do. You could have rolled the dice, renounced his rights, and then decided to try and go after one of the bigger fish. But as you read in that Athletic piece, it's brought up by one of his sources in the piece that he wants to play in Milwaukee. So that apparently is a thing still out there in the NBA as well. So if you roll the dice and then nobody does want to come play in Milwaukee, and then you're really screwed and you look really bad. So I just don't I think they were in a situation they didn't have a choice, so they had to do it.
Gary, now I know Leroy Butler's been on the pay Chris Middleton bandwagon throughout the entire year. For you, are you happy if the Bucks are indeed getting Chris Middleton back, as reports say that he's telling teams, I'm going back to Milwaukee?
Yeah, I am. I'm extremely happy. I think you saw the team this year also come together and play well. I mean, I just didn't realize the locker room trauma that they had in there. But they all felt genuine towards one another. They all felt like they played well together. And why wouldn't you bring it all back? Now, that's going to come at a price. But I think most certainly Chris Middleton. Now, listen, I think every player will tell you what they don't deserve the money that they're making. It's a kid's game. I'm not really about that. The going rate is what the going rate is. Pay the man. And then you just got to figure out how it washes out. You know, you're right. Could you – are there better number two players on certain teams like Golden State? Yes. But if you look at Toronto, maybe not. I think Toronto at certain times had other guys step up and help Kawhi, but you have to give Kawhi a lot of credit because he played better in the playoffs than our guy Giannis did. And to me, that was part of the reason, well, majority of the reason why they won the championship. So Giannis is going to have to up his game a little bit more. But yeah, I'm glad that they that he's gonna stay. I'm thinking about staying, and let's bring this whole thing back and see what we can. Maybe we can go and get a shooter if they can figure out how to get a guy to hit outside jump shot on a consistent basis. That'll make this team a lot better.
It appears one guy like that would be the premier shooter would be JJ Redick. It appears JJ Redick gonna get about 13-14 million. Couldn't beat me in the Papa Shot game,
man,
down the hall. So
ain't
let's
even a real
hush
game.
Up you shooting and being a sharpshooter.
Put
for
Craig
about
up against
10-15
you.
Minutes.
Our DJ Craig.
Blown him out by 40 last time we played. So just remember that. Yeah.
I gotta pick somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't even pick Steve,
what
who's
about
the best Papa Shot player around.
Can shoot.
No, he can't. Not me in that game.
And fam, look
no
like he
chance.
Can shoot.
I got a sweet stroke, Leroy. Elbow
I've seen
in.
Your elbows
clean.
Out.
No.
Your elbow's a little leaky.
I got a nice big man game.
I'm about to go watch.
Big 6'3 guy plays like he's about 7'4.
When do y'all do it? Like, have you done it like
after the show? Because the people in the building don't like it when we're playing Papa Shot during the day.
And oh, because y'all get a little rough.
The secretaries and everybody else yells, and the sales department, all those people.
They're
like, can you guys quiet down?
No, they don't. They don't tell me and Gary to
not
quiet
like,
down.
Not like Andy, because Andy's a cool dude. But like,
you're not like crossing people over, though. You're just shooting. Right?
No, I'll dunk on somebody, too, if there's
you can't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this guy.
You're walking
you can
through
tear
a doorway.
The machine up.
You're walking through a doorway, Leroy, and I got a ball. I'm going to dunk on you. Like, that's just going
to
happen.
I'm going to dunk on
just
you.
Just like back when I was in middle school, if you were standing there not paying attention, we were going to table you. It was just going to happen.
Your classmate that called up, I know you paid that guy. Because that guy said you was a nice person. Now,
I wish.
You're dunking on people.
I was going to say I should have Venmo'd him some money for making me look good on the radio. I guess that was very nice of him.
That was nice.
That's the right lane. Chris Middleton telling teams he's re-signing. Are you happy with that as a Bucks fan?
Absolutely.
Just underneath the max. 414-799-1250 in the left lane. Have your expectations changed for the Milwaukee Brewers? Leroy, you've been adamant that Brewers fans are still concerned and still hung up on the fact that you lost to the Miami Marlins 16-0. And ever since then, you've lost 2-3 to the Marlins, bad team. You lost 2-3 to the Giants, bad team. And you lose last night 2-0 to the San Diego Padres.
I think the way that you're losing that frustrates people. But I tweeted that out. You know, the losing to these type teams frustrates
type teams.
It does frustrate you. But you stick to the plan, though it's a long season. And at the end of the day, which people don't want to hear, but I tell them anyway, I push it right down their throat, you're in first place.
Mm-hmm. Eight games over.
And I understand that. I really understand that a lot of people think one game away from World Series, add a bunch of pieces. You didn't get Keuchel. You didn't get Kimbrel. You didn't trade for this guy. You didn't do this. And listen, I get it. Listen, at the end of the day, your team's going to be good enough to win this division because Jesus Aguilar, he's going to do better, okay? Shaw, these guys are going to do better. Keston Hira will be up soon. He's going to do like he's always done.
Music to Sparky's ears.
So my thing is this. We just got to just hunker down.
Hunker!
And just win and get back, 4-4?
You win the next two games, you're 4-4 on the West Coast road
right,
trip.
Right, then you come on home Thursday and let's reassess. That's baseball. You can't get hang on every game like that. It's just the opponents, though. That's the issue. the opponents and the pitchers. If you line up every run out, every pitcher that beat the Brewers since the old bad teams, it's head scratchers. You don't know these guys. Why can't y'all hit these guys? Well, I mean, why can't you score? You got shut out? I mean,
our dude last night was trolling everybody with his windup. And then goes seven innings and shuts you down.
Hey, man. You know, when Braun came up with, I think Braun came up with two guys on, I said, okay, here's clutch right now. And I didn't agree with the pitch. It wasn't a strike, but you can't strike out right
now. Yeah, being called out on strikes in that sixth inning. That was the first time the Brewers got a man in scoring position last night on Christian Yelich's two-out double. Sparky, have your expectations changed for the Milwaukee Brewers here in 2019?
No.
40-32, half game up on the Cubs in first place.
Yeah. I mean, what more do you want? You're in first place in your division against a team that's got double the payroll that you have at this point in time. You haven't played your best baseball yet. You have several players that haven't lived up to expectations that they've had this year.
At least four, Steve, that should be playing better. You'd be up by seven games right now.
Mm-hmm.
You would think, and that's what people are saying.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you haven't played well. Yeah. You've got a bunch of guys underperforming. You don't really have a lot of guys really playing above their heads necessarily.
For sure.
So I look at this and say,
blame it on pitching.
You got to be really, really happy to be sitting here in first place knowing you haven't played your best baseball
yet. Overjoyed.
Well, I don't know. You are, Steve. From that standpoint, they are pretty fortunate.
Yeah,
I think, to be where they are, considering the guys that they have that are playing. But I think if you look at them, I mean, you can almost predict. There were a lot of people that thought that Lorenzo Cain, that there was going to be a fall off, right?
Mm-hmm.
We did. And we didn't think it was going to be this year. You look at Aguilar, there were a lot of people that weren't buying into Aguilar. That we thought last
year
was lightning in a bottle.
Yep.
You most certainly believed it wasn't. You thought it was going to be a cornerstone.
Yep.
I mean, let's keep going down the line. I think the guys that are struggling are guys that had question marks anyway that you thought that probably wasn't for real. That's why I said last year, and this is what I mean by it was much more magical last year, because the magic was that you had guys like Lorenzo Cain that came up with some big hits. You had a magical year by Aguilar. I mean, that guy was absolutely on fire.
Yeah,
did he make the All-Star team last year?
He was an MVP candidate through the first
half
of the
season. Yeah, I mean, that's the magic I'm talking about, baby Touch. I mean, I know you kind of poo-pooed a little bit. Who are the other four or five guys that on this list? You said it's like five of them, right?
Yeah.
Who are they?
Peralta's another one that hasn't lived up.
Peralta. I mean, Peralta was magic last year.
He was untouchable.
You didn't know what Peralta was.
Shaw was good, too.
Travis Shaw. Yeah, I mean, if you think about his career.
63 home runs in the last 2 years for the Milwaukee Brewers.
What?
And he's
and then
sitting here hitting 174.
Yeah.
Corbin Burns.
But Burnsy is in a different role. So we expected more.
That's because he failed in the starter
role. We expected more from him this year because what we saw out of him last year.
Yep.
We'll get into all this tomorrow, but you can go down the line on these guys, these cats we just
and
talked about.
In first.
All those cats had magic. To me, that was some of the magic that was surrounding the Brewers last year that is not actually happening this year. Now, we were hoping for some magic from Jimmy Nelson this year. Where is that at?
What do you mean? He made two starts.
It
hadn't happened yet. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm not mad.
No, I know. I'm just
But we're,
I'm just
we're hoping
the facts
if,
too.
If you're going to get some more magic, we were hoping that Jimmy Nelson would be that magical piece
for
us this year.
You have had those magical names because you have Brandon Woodruff, who's second in the majors
and
in
Zach
wins.
Davis.
And Zach Davies, who just got his first loss 2 days ago, who's one of the best pitchers in the National League.
I almost named off 10 guys, man. Keep going.
Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah.
Josh Hader's still one of the best in baseball.
Well, no, but that's not that's same as last year.
Junior Guerra
talking about new
is better
guys.
This year than he was
last
year.
Yeah, I'm talking about new guys.
In the bullpen.
Yeah,
he's become your highest leverage guy.
Yeah,
Chase Anderson was nothing last year.
Yeah, but none
he's
of those.
He's back into the bullpen.
None of those.
Out of the bullpen
the
into the starting
that those
rotation.
Guys are having right now, which, yes, I agree with you, does not compare to the year that these other four or five guys we were talking about last year. These other guys we were talking about last year, Aguilar was considered an all-star. I mean, that's
three and a half months.
That's right. That's the level that he was playing at a particular time.
But for the last 2.5 months, you couldn't even put him on the field in the playoffs.
Understandable.
So, I mean,
but
like,
he got him there. You can't
to an extent.
It.
To an extent. Yes, he did. To an extent. And there's a lot of guys that are having better years than you could have ever imagined.
Sure.
Look at Yasmani Grandal. 278.
No, that didn't surprise me because we knew what he was going to do.
This is a career year for Yasmani
Understandable,
Grandal,
but we knew what his numbers could be at Miller Park.
Mike Moustakas in 21 home runs.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That's not really at all surprising either, if you really think about
it. It's 1,000% surprising.
No, it's not. When did Moustakas come in last year?
Moustakas came in July 26th in San Francisco.
Okay, and then now look at his numbers the second half, and then what you have to do, is then try to project out. Anytime certain guys or hitters like a Moustakas comes to Miller Park, I think it's different.
Sure,
I think it's a different ball game.
Grandall too.
But yes, that's why I said that's not surprising. Yeah. I think it's a different ball game. You went out and got Moustakas. You went out and got Grandall because you thought offensively they fit in what you want to do at Miller Park.
And Mike Moustakas, still, though, he's got half of his home runs on the road, half of them at Miller Park.
We talked about that too.
And they're able to continually be where they are. Yeah. Yeah. But let's just also bring up Corbin Burns and Freddie Peralta were untouchables last year at the trade deadline. Yeah, 11 home runs and 4 starts given up by Corbin Burns. So you're in a situation where you've had a lot of guys down, like Gary just said, and you're still in first place. 414-799-1250. That's the left lane. Have your expectations changed for the Milwaukee Brewers? 414-799-1250. This is the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan, 414-799-1250, Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane on the Wendy's Big Show, 5 o'clock hour. We do it every day. Chris Middleton telling teams he's re-signing with the Milwaukee Bucks. According to Jordan Brenner of The Athletic, quote from an NBA executive, he's going back, talking about Chris Middleton, quote, "What I hear is he'll get the fifth year, but take a little less at the beginning. It won't be the full max, but it'll be close for Chris Middleton coming back to the Milwaukee Bucks." Then reads into the Bucks could, if they don't think Chris Middleton's going to come back, they could make a play at a big-ticket free agent. Maybe Tobias Harris would make sense next to Giannis, but a league source says, quote, to Jordan Brenner, "The question is, who wants to play in Milwaukee?" Sparky, you appeared to not believe that that was still a thing, the Milwaukee tax, the Milwaukee.
No, it's just people just don't want to come play in the city. I don't think it's, I mean, I could be wrong. I don't think it's a Giannis thing. I don't think it's a facility issue. I think their arena is state-of-the-art. I don't think it's a practice facility issue. That's state-of-the-art. So that tells me they just don't want to play in the city of Milwaukee. They have no interest in coming here, feel there's nothing to do here.
Yeah.
It snows and it's cold here. In Chicago, at least there's a lot of stuff to do. There's nothing to do here. So forget it. I have no interest in playing there, regardless if Giannis is there or not. If that perception is still out there, man, oh, man. I mean, that's tough because you are hoping, as Lazary has been saying this whole time, Mark Lazary, of, you know, winning cures all. People want to come and win with Giannis regardless of where the team is located. And again, according to this article, that doesn't appear to be the case.
And Gary, I get that part of it. Like I would want to win if I'm in the NBA, but there's also a balance between what I got to do financially and what makes sense, what my family wants to do. It might not be that you don't want to go to Milwaukee, but I've lived here my whole life. It's the only home I've ever known.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of family members that want to come live for 6 months in weather that's 30 degrees.
See, I don't know if that's, I mean, the weather, I suppose, is a part of it. But, I mean, Toronto is doing well.
It's cold.
Philly is doing well. I mean, it's going to be
some
cold
weather. But now a lot of
those
are homegrown teams, too. Yeah. I mean, they go and get Kawhi Leonard on a trade. But
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I just don't know. I mean, I just think that the way the facilities are these days, I think that weather is, to me, can be not as bad as it used to be in years. But I mean, there's so many things you can do right now. If guys are truly want to hone their skills and what they're doing, I think the facility the Bucks have built is for that. If
for
you want to make your game better, they got the state of the art of everything that you could ever want for a basketball player, if that's what you want to do. And if you want to go out for some nightlife, there's some places to go around here for a night. Like, listen, these guys make buku bucks, right? Do you think they got to park somewhere and get out and walk to a bar somewhere?
I can't think so, no.
Because I don't. I'm pulling right up front, and I'm a nobody. So this whole weather thing, if you want to go somewhere, go to a nice restaurant or go to a club, you ain't really walking. You're parking right in front.
Sure. I get that part of it.
What?
But I don't know, man. I wake up in the morning, I look at my phone, and it's 15 degrees again?
Yeah, 15.
Are you kidding me?
15 degrees
again?
15 degrees again, and I'm calling the car service, and they're going to drive me to practice. 15 degrees again. I got that underground parking probably where I'm at.
No doubt.
And got then it. I'm getting in my car. I'm not even brushing my car off. Then I'm going to the Price facility where there's more underground parking probably.
It is.
I probably never see snow unless I just don't. I don't
you
think,
driving it.
Right. I just don't think that's so
a depressing.
Huge, it should not for those guys. For you.
Sure.
For you. But for these guys, I just don't think that's a, unless they're spoiled.
Duh.
And that's the only thing I think of, Steve. Unless there's
Steve just hit you with the duh.
Duh. Duh.
Of course they.
But just would've think
just
about
started
it
with that.
But just think about it. If you these guys, they don't. You don't have to go. And
you don't
and listen,
have the in and outs of it. Like I don't.
No.
Know,
no.
Driveway, man.
No. And here's the thing. When they have the West Coast swing.
Sure. But that swing could be 6 months.
No. To go play basketball. What I mean. To if they want to get away.
Right.
They go to the West Coast. If they go to the East Coast, it's going to be cold there. Just like it is in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. That's going to be different. Right? So I think to me, all of that stuff should be played out by now. It's just so much other stuff that they have done, the Bucks have done, that you don't, the weather really shouldn't be an issue for you.
And maybe it's not the weather. And once again, lived in the city my whole life. I love the city like no other. But there's a difference between Milwaukee and Los Angeles. I mean, there just is. The difference between here and Phoenix. I mean, here in Houston.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Right? Like, and that part of it is tough, too.
Yeah.
It's tough to wrap your mind around when that hasn't been your home as well.
But those guys are never here, really. They're working. Think about their schedule.
But your family's got to be here.
Not necessarily.
Sure. Not necessarily. Mike Moustakas' family, for the most part, lives out in California.
Yeah.
And if you're in baseball, I think, too, it is a lot easier for you to negotiate. A Yasmani Grandal, guy from Cuba, and be like, hey, man, it's really not that bad here in the summer. You can go somewhere else in February and March. We got camp, so you're not going to be here for that.
How many games these guys play a week basketball-wise?
About two or
three.
Three?
Three, sometimes four.
Yeah.
But, Gary, you have to understand something else.
Help me understand, Steve.
Different than baseball to a degree. Baseball, you come into Milwaukee for a 3 or 4 game set. So after a game, you may go find a restaurant in downtown to go have something to eat or go out to a bar. Lincecum was always out at the bars on Water Street.
Yeah, he was. Always.
So from that aspect, these baseball players can learn something about what the nightlife is in Milwaukee. Dude, NBA players, they fly in. They check into the Pfister or wherever their team is staying. They go do their shoot around. They get done with the game. They fly out.
Yes.
They don't leave the hotel or the arena. They never go out. They don't want to even experience it. They want nothing to do with it. In, out, see ya, bye.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you anything about it.
Sure.
Most of them. And when you talk to guys that get here in free agency, whether it's Gooden or John Salmons or whoever, the first thing they always say is, I didn't realize they had so many great restaurants in this town. Because before coming here, we would never leave the hotel. We didn't think there was anything here. We didn't bother even going out to check out anything.
Well, Steve,
never went anywhere.
That's not entirely true. My buddy that owns a limousine service is always taking guys out when they come in town.
Yeah, left and right, probably.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
NBA guys?
Yes.
A lot of these guys always say the same thing. Never left the hotel.
Yeah, they talk. But always. They're always moving guys in and out. Always.
How much of this, and we can get, this is a conversation as well for a complete another day too, because the depth of it continues to grow and grow. Malcolm Brogdon, vice president of the Players Association, had words last year where he talked about the demographics of the city of Milwaukee and how segregated the city is. Does that play into this? Who wants to go play in Milwaukee?
Well, I think...
because I imagine some of it has
you
to.
Yeah, well, because the whole thing you had with Henson, you know, that kind of magnifies some of the stuff.
That wasn't a good look.
No.
As a young black African-American, I mean, you can speak to it more, but in the same sense.
So closely right to the NBA.
Then Sterling Brown.
Right.
Then Sterling Brown. Yeah, none of that played well through the NBA. Yeah, that doesn't sit well. And I know that for a fact within NBA circles, those two things that happened did not sit well with most African-American players in the NBA. Period, point blank.
And then, like you said, though, you still do have guys that understand it, and they've been in the community and love the community.
Yeah.
So there's so much that can get into it that it is still part of a stigma that you're going to have to work through. Mm-hmm. Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane. 414-799-1250. Mike's on the south side of Milwaukee. He's next on the Fan. Hi, Mike.
Boy, you guys are pulling me everywhere today. I got three pages. I narrowed it down. Cannibal sandwich, yes. Brett, no. Vince Carter to the Bucks. You want to do that? We got to get over the Marlins thing. We got Yelich. Sure. I think we won there. And then I want to go over to the Bucks lineup. Giannis, Brogdon, Middleton, Lopez, Bledsoe, Mirotic, Ersan, Connington, Hill, honorable mention, DJ, and Sterling Brown. And Snell, we haven't really seen anything out of him. He don't get minutes. And then I got a shout-out to Dean Murray hooking me up today.
All right, there it is.
Yeah.
Nice work, Mike.
Oh, yeah, all I had to do was say Big Show, and he hooked me up.
No doubt he does,
now,
Gary.
Real quick, the Brewers, injuries. Getting the wild card, getting the playoffs, anything can happen.
Mike, I got to ask you a question, Mike, real quick. Because
go ahead.
You've probably been a regular caller. How long have you been listening to us, Mike?
10 years.
10 years. Holy moly.
Yeah, I called three twice yesterday. I called early show and you guys.
10 years.
I picked the Yankees last year to win it all.
Uh-huh.
And the injuries just took them right out of it.
Yeah, let them go.
That's
so
for sure.
Anything can happen, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
All right, Mike, take it easy,
Steve,
buddy.
Steve, you remember Mike 10 years ago?
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Huh?
Are you kidding me?
You think I don't. Some I do. Okay, like D.
Mm-hmm.
D? Okay, I know D. That's at least over probably 10
D
years.
D came to remotes and everything
right,
else and
right,
us and
right, right,
kind of became part
right,
of the family.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't a lot of those guys. I mean, again, I'm not going down memory
Santo,
lane with you on the air.
Santo.
Santo's been with us from the start. We watched his kids grow up coming to the toy drive every year.
Yeah.
Yep.
You guys will always remember Mike that called in and said he was going to fight a grizzly bear.
We haven't heard from him.
No.
You always know you're going to remember that one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hard one to get out of the memory bank.
Are we going to play LaFleur here?
We are. Not LaFleur. We're going to hear from Mike Silver.
Same thing.
Him too. Mike Silver, NFL Network and NFL.com. We had a conversation with him. Bring that to you.
Did we talk about LaFleur,
though? Right here on The Fan. We talk about Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers,
okay,
the differences they might have. He had a big article discussing the problems that could ensue between the two men in Green Bay. We'll hear that next. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, Michael Silver, NFL Network, NFL.com. Blew the lid off again. Like, this dude, Gary, we talk about it with journalists that understand pro athletes. Michael Silver, to a T, I think, understands pro athletes.
Oh, all day long.
He's got a little bit of swagness to him.
Yeah.
And pro athletes trust him. Aaron Rodgers trusts this guy more than anybody else. And we discussed starting out with Michael Silver about his article on Matt LaFleur and how Matt LaFleur is adjusting to his new gig, all big the circumstances.
Well, he's settling in while riding on a scooter, which is not ideal. And, you know, I know he doesn't have to go run around and actually play the game, so it could be worse. But, you know, think about it. You're 39 years old. You finally get a shot. You want to be out there. You want to be active. You don't want to be self-conscious. I think that is a bummer for him. But he's obviously super psyched about the opportunity. He's a guy who's, you know, kind of a warrior, kind of, wants to know every contingency. He's very detailed. So he's definitely not underthinking it. I also think he's understandably excited about working with Aaron Rodgers and, you know, some of these great offensive playmakers, just in terms of the play calling side and the head coaching thing, that can be daunting, but he's definitely appreciative of the opportunity.
Michael, I think the worry of some of us with this whole deal with Rodgers and LaFleur is that Rodgers could get himself in a position where he could steamroll LaFleur and kind of bully him into doing what he wants to do and get the freedom that McCarthy allowed him at the end of the day, because Aaron tends to be a guy that always believes that he's the smartest guy in the room, and that might not work to LaFleur's advantage.
Well, first of all, I think he is really smart, and he's really good, especially specifically at, you know, going up to the line, serving the situation, and so sometimes changing the play to a better play. So, I don't necessarily believe it's binary. Like, the player has to do what the coach wants. He's got a skill set. It's unique, and it's been really effective at times. And, Matt knows that. Part of the issue is just that in the offense that Matt is running, which is essentially the Kyle Shanahan offense, they don't build in, audibles. It's just they believe they have answers. Sometimes they'll send the quarterback up to the line and say, call one of two plays, but you're supposed to make that call based on what you see, and there's not a lot of wiggle room. Aaron's point would be, hey, that's cool. I'm pumped about this offense, but there might be a time where, based on my body of knowledge and skills, I can help. Part of the issue is mechanical. Just there's so much pre-snap going on with motion. There's so much done formationally with formation-specific personnel at times that, first of all, to deal with all that, secondly, to get out of that, with formation-specific personnel, it doesn't always work. So you're talking about, a matter of seconds maybe that Aaron has to get accomplished what he previously had more time to do. So that's all of the, that's kind of the landscape of what they're working through. But the good news is they're both really excited about working with each other. They're well-intentioned. And, I think we're talking about, kind of some gradations of how the scheme will ultimately function.
So, Mike, here's what you did, and I thought it was a great article, and maybe you didn't know what you did, but you kind of stirred some things up a little bit in the fact that previously there was a relationship with McCarthy and Rodgers and who was calling in plays and who weren't calling the plays, and Rodgers didn't like what plays came in, and then there were some players saying that, well, Rodgers said, we're not running that play, we're going to run this play. And so you kind of stirred that up again. I don't know if you probably intentionally mean to do that. And now all of a sudden, fast forward to today, when you wrote your article the other day that we saw it, is that now Rodgers want more control of the offense, want more freedom, and this offense really doesn't lend itself to being that way.
Yeah, and I don't know that there's a right and wrong answer. Trust me, I talk to a lot of coaches and a lot of play callers, and there is not one of them who would not be thrilled to have this problem. And I put problem in quotes. If you told,
yes,
and I'm talking about the best guys in the world at this. If you told, pick a guy, Sean Payton, Sean McVay, hey, you're going to now coach Aaron Rodgers, but watch out because he's going to want a lot of control. They'd be like, okay, I'll do it right now. I'll take that deal. He is as revered as he is by fans in our world, with the people who actually know this stuff, he is held in exceptionally high esteem, maybe higher than any quarterback who has ever played in some ways. So I don't think it's necessarily, oh my God, Aaron wants control. But I understand the trigger, and I understand what we're all reacting to, and that is that a long relationship between Mike and Aaron that, had a lot of tension and a lot of push and pull and ultimately got worse and ran its course, we're coming off of that. And so, listen, all I know is change can be good, and let's just say that, if Mike and Aaron had enough of each other and the product on the field was now starting to suffer, Aaron would understandably be in a upbeat frame of mind to have that change. And so I think that's what I'm getting from him. Like, I love Kyle's offense. I'm excited. Matt's really smart. He's a good dude. I'm excited to work with him. And again, for the fans, remember that this offense is ideally going to take a lot of that pressure off of Aaron and the weight of the world. He's going to have, I think, a high functioning running game that sets up play action and balance and not only an initiative to get rid of the ball quickly, but the, hopefully open guys very early. So if all that's working the way it's supposed to, most of the time it's going to look really good and it's going to be a better reality for him. Will this one issue with the audibles just not be able to resolve itself and become a symbol of something that just won't work, or, you know, or player mutiny. I don't really see it happening that way. And I think it's cool that both guys are mindful of it in June and talking about it in an intelligent way, you know, when asked, and then, you know, saying, hey, we have to work through this. We're going to have a bunch of conversations between now and then. So to me, that's all positive. But I understand, because last year sucked and the year before was rough when Aaron got hurt. And, you know, Mike and Aaron did a lot of really good things together. And it's been that way for you know, it was that way for a long, long time. And change is always a little jolting.
Talking with Mike Silver of NFL Network, NFL.com, here about his article about the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur moving forward on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike, I thought it was also interesting in the conversation and in the article you had written about somewhat of an ambiguous situation where coaching and coaching prospects didn't know exactly how to feel about the situation because of what you just laid out in Aaron's previous success, how you're able to then be able to quantify how much better you're able to make him as a first-time head coach.
Yeah, and, you know, how much better, I mean, he's pretty good. I know it was a rough year, but I've heard people say he had a bad year. He might not have had his best year, but he did some things last year, I thought, that what I saw, where, you know, with an injury, where he still looked transcendent and different than almost anyone I've ever seen. So I think it's still there. I think it's, you know, the idea that, hey, let's not make him have to do everything himself, and let's have a scheme that takes some of the pressure off of him but still allows him to, you know, do his thing. Like, that sounds really, really good to me. And I just think change is good. And that's one thing Aaron, you know, said to me. I said, you know, it's kind of a kick in the butt just to have change. Is it fun? And he said, yeah, it really is fun. He said, it's a lot, you know, learning a new language, having to translate it in my head at the line, you know, adjusting to Matt as a person, trying to get to know him, trying to get him to loosen up, trying to get him to understand my dry sense of humor, you know, all that. It is a lot, but I think sometimes, you know, we get in these modes professionally where, you know, it's nice to get out of your comfort zone. I mean, I know as a writer most of my career, when I started doing more TV, I didn't feel like I was really, you know, adept at it on the air. I was just kind of figuring it out, but it was exciting to me. I liked just having it be different.
That's Michael Silver of NFL Network, NFL.com, joining us earlier today on the Wendy's Big Show. Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky, Five Round, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Come wrap things up, get a winner for our Summerfest tickets next, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer in here with you. 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app each and every day, 2 to 6. Take us home tonight. We get you set for the Pella, with the Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin On Deck Show, as we do before each and every Brewers game. Lineup out for the crew tonight.
Oh.
Leading off out in center field with a on-base percentage of .304.
Stop. Would you stop?
Is Lorenzo.
Leave him alone.
Just saying,
stop.
Dude, it's fine.
Don't pour gasoline on this fire. Trust me, there's enough angry people at Lorenzo Cain.
We
don't
some clown
need
say
to
that you should trade Lorenzo Cain. You can't get anything for Lorenzo Cain.
Right.
You can't trade him.
But I'm telling you, there were people criticizing Yelich because all he does is hit solo homers.
Mm-hmm. See, this is what you got to do.
This is what we're talking about. Brewer hysteria. You people have lost your minds.
I found the other best way to take in a baseball game. Because number one is being on the Baby
Social
Shane
media.
Blind postgame show. I love it. Be on tonight with Tim Allen after the game, late night, Brewers and Padres. Or for like these late coast games, which is even better, what you can do is you record it on your big DVR that you get with DirecTV, big old DVR.
1,000 hours.
And then you watch it in the morning, but here's the kicker, though. You got to stay off your phone until you watch it.
Right.
Which is so difficult.
For sure.
But it works out flawlessly. It's amazing.
You can fast forward through all the commercials and all that.
You can enjoy each pitch. You don't have to worry about Twitter. I don't have to be looking every single time to see what this guy's yelling about this dude.
But you don't have to.
It kind of calms me down.
When you watch the game tonight, don't look at social media.
Yeah, you know I can't promise that. It's Christian Yelich, then Ryan Braun, Yasmani Grandal behind the dish for Brandon Woodruff, Sparky, Mike Moustakas at third.
I do not like this lineup.
HP at second, Aguilar at first, hitting seventh in front of Orlando Arcia. Brandon Woodruff
this
rounds it out.
I'd like to know what the record is with this lineup. He just started running this lineup out, in the last series?
Yep, with the heavy right-handers.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
It would fit a lot better with Keston Hira as the right-handed bat at second base. But, our thanks to Michael Silver for joining us earlier today.
Hey, is it hitting, 298 against right?
And HP's my guy. Yeah. For Gary, Sparky, I'm Baby Tausch. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.